Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then also, men, would you also turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Ladies, after Genesis 2, 7, you will, sorry to make this complicated, ladies will turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, after we read Genesis 2, 7. And then all of us will finish on 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Do any of you need me to repeat that? Good to have the Westbrooks with us. And Brother Westbrook and Miss Westbrook, what year did you graduate? 89, 95. And we go back a ways. And he is a United States Army 82nd Airborne veteran. Let's give him a big hand. I cannot believe I just gave honor to an 82nd Airborne veteran, but I did it. So we were rivals, not necessarily at the same time, but I was stationed there at Fort Bragg, and there was quite an intense rivalry between the 82nd Airborne, and they called us legs, meaning we didn't jump out of airplanes. And I can remember one such time, one of our platoon sergeants took us on a run right into the gut of the 82nd Airborne Division and chanting all these provocative statements, which I participated in, but I was thinking, this is my last day on earth. They are going to kill us. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and we're all going to read this verse. And ready, let's begin. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Let's read that last statement. Ready? And man became a living soul. What an incredible thing. A living soul. And I know probably that doesn't mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to God. And when you really think about a living soul, it's an incredible thought, all that it is and all that it does and what God did with a living soul. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, ladies. Proverbs chapter 4. Wait. Just like a lady, here we go. If you won't lead, Brother Douglas, we will lead, all right? Here we go. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart. That word heart in the Bible and similar words are used interchangeably. The heart, the soul, the mind. Often they're interchangeably, but what really we can interpret this verse saying is keep thy soul. Keep thy soul. Guard thy soul with all diligence. Just recently, our fourth grandchild came into this world. And a birth of any child is a miracle. And it really is an amazing thing. I witnessed all three of my children be born, and I was there shortly after each one of my grandchildren were born. And it is an incredible miracle. But as you get older, you kind of take to heart a few things, and you think a little bit deeper. And how their parents and everybody, the nurses there, care for that little soul. I mean, barely 7 pounds, black, jet black hair, very masculine features. I love when babies have masculine features. He was a boy, by the way. But everybody's caring for that soul, and they will continue to care for that little soul for many, many years. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I think I got confused on my order. So let's all read this, Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. That's in the New Testament, freshman. And let's read verse 26. Ready? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give? And then finally we will read all together 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. My apologies for making you work during chapel. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness, and Lord, I am very dependent upon you. As a matter of fact, I'm totally dependent upon you. All I want to be is a voice. I don't want to shame your holy name. I don't want to be a poor example of Christ-likeness. God, I pray that your spirit would just move in our hearts. We need you. I pray that you'll strengthen the tired, weary hearts and souls of these students. I pray that they'll have an experience that you visited them in this chapel service. God, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach on the subject, caring for your soul. Caring for your soul. Again, I'm a bit fascinated with human behavior and the soul that it comes from. But just a few statements here just about the soul, and then I'm going to get into the sermon. First of all, how important are our souls? Our souls are the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's simple words, but can you imagine? Why did Jesus Christ die? For my soul he died, to pay my sin debt for me. It was he, the innocent, that died for me, the guilty. Jesus died for your sins. He died for your soul. That's how precious you are, how valuable each and every one of us are. We're a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God. And only when we fulfill and understand all three of those will we have peace within our heart. This is why we're so disturbed many times. This is why Christian, young Christians are insecure or lack confidence because they don't understand this statement. We are a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God. You have heard me say on numerous occasions, I am a needy person. You know why I'm a needy person? Because I recognize the depravity of my soul. Many of you grew up in Christian homes and everything was just really dress right, dress. How's that? And everything was really ordered, and there was love, and there was expressions of warmness and meals, and it was just great. And you grow up thinking, man, I'm a good person. Well, live into your 20s, and then into your 30s, and into your 40s, into your 50s. And you start taking a look at that soul, and you say, wow, it is wicked. God already told us that. The heart is desperately wicked. It is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And so God tells us this, but you're still, many of you are in a stage that says, I'm a pretty good person. But give yourself a few years, and you're going to be like me. And you're going to need God in a very, very aggressive, in a very, very real way. The soul is the life center of human beings. You know, I've watched my stepfather go to heaven. And he was sitting there lifeless. Now, the soul still existed in him, but it was not alive. He was alive because of human machinery. And then later that afternoon, my oldest brother and I got to see his soul go to heaven. We didn't physically see it, but we saw evidence. The chest stopped raising up and down, and there was one last deep breath and an exhale, and that was it. I wished I could have seen his soul go to heaven. I wished I could have seen the angels come and carry his soul to heaven. If your soul is healthy, no external circumstance can destroy your life. You know, this is something that we need to understand. That inner man cannot be destroyed. You know, we look at the martyrs, if you've ever read the book of Martyrs, incredible book that every young Christian who's going to be in ministry needs to read. They killed the body, but they didn't kill the soul. And that is incredibly important. If your soul is healthy, there's no external circumstance that can draw your life. There are many students here that now and former students in years gone by, they displayed that they had a very weak soul. I mean, when the going got tough, they were out of here. They broke down. They had nervous breakdowns in some cases. They just couldn't handle it because of a weak soul. If your soul is unhealthy, there's no external circumstance that can redeem your life. Now, what is the soul? First of all, and I'm not going to get too deep in this, the soul consists of, first of all, our human will. I mean, each and every day, and today, you have made decisions. Right now, you are making a decision to tune me out or to listen. You're making decisions to play around with the person next to you. It happens every chapel service. Or you're making a decision, your will is making a decision to give attention to what the preacher is saying. You made a decision, your will made a decision to get up when the alarm clock went off. Or the majority of you made the decision, your will said, let's press the snooze button. Come on, give me a hand there. How many said, I pressed the snooze button? My alarm clock went off at 3:45 a.m. this morning. I got up at 4:04. So you do the math. I pressed the snooze button. Now listen very carefully. We go on this one point right here. Your decisions, your will, are either going to bless you or curse you. Very simple. Often I counsel with people and they tell me the tragedies that have taken place in their life and the choices that they made. And it's like, well, it's no wonder that you're here. And how do we rectify that? Well, we start making right choices. One of the choices that you're going to make here is, are you going to give it all at Hiles Anderson College? Are you going to be, well, I'll just get by here at Hiles Anderson College? You have forgot the verse, whether that whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You have the opportunity to magnify Christ, or you have the opportunity to magnify yourself here at Hiles Anderson College. You have the opportunity to promote the Lord Jesus Christ or promote yourself. We could go on and on and on of the decisions the will of man makes. It's part of the soul. You have a choice to be happy, or you have a choice to be depressed and discouraged. It is a choice. Joy is a choice. I'd like to say more, but I'm going to move on. So it consists of the human will. It consists of the mind. Now, the mind does a lot of things. You are perceiving, you are thinking at this very moment. If there was ever a machine that could record every one of our thoughts in the course of a day, that would be a pretty amazing machine. Now, I happen to believe that the female gender thinks a whole lot more than us guys. I really do. I mean, I have my nothing box. And what do I think about? Absolutely nothing. Ladies, I will sell it to you for $1,000, okay? And many of you need it. I'm married to a woman whose mind is just continually going. And sometimes she'll look at me when I'm saying nothing. She goes, a penny for your thoughts. Nothing. I don't know. Oh, come on. You have to be thinking about something. No, really. I'm not thinking about anything. Man, glory to God. Do you have a nothing box? I have a nothing box. Ladies, do you have a nothing box? One characteristic of the mind that we don't think of often is that it craves peace. I love peace. I love it when my soul is not preoccupied. I love it when my soul is not distracted. I love it when my soul is at rest. Peace. One such time in my life, probably about 10, 15 years ago, I was out west. I was on a hunting trip, and it was a beautiful day. It was unusually beautiful that week, and that was in the high temperature was 54 that week, which for me, that's a little bit warm for hunting. I like it a little bit cold. And the skies were blue, and I had hunted for about 2 to 3 hours, and I came to the edge of this clear cut that overlooked just a very large, vast area in this valley, and I just leaned up against this stump, and I just sat there. And probably the only time in my life that I can ever recall, there was total silence. There was no wind. There were no birds. There were no squirrels chasing each other. And I just absorbed that thinking, I may never experience this again. And I remember it very vividly because what interrupted that time when there was zero noise. Most of you have never in your life experienced zero noise. There was one of these airplanes that lands on water. It had the double skis on it. And far, far above, you can hear the whiny engine. And I thought, how cool. And I realized at that very moment I was living in an event that may never take place again. And my senses were just totally absorbing everything that was taking place. I did not want to leave. I had total peace. I sensed the presence of God at that time. And I didn't want to leave it. But I had to. So the mind craves peace, and you can have peace even in a rigorous schedule such as ours. The body, let's talk about the body. It's part of the soul. The body is our little kingdom. That's the one place in all the universe where all of our tiny wills have a chance to be in charge. We can tell the body what to do. We could tell the body, go back to sleep. We could tell the body, skip that class. We could tell the body, you don't have to be kind to that person. You don't have to help. We could tell the body, you don't have to go check the database, the student page and see what's going on. We could tell the body, we don't have to listen to the chaplain. We could tell the body that we don't have to go to the bus meeting on Saturday morning. We rule this body right here. It's our little kingdom. But unbeknownst to most of us, it is not our body. It's God's body. He created, He redeemed it. To lose your soul means you no longer have a healthy center that organizes and guides your life. We become a car without a steering wheel, and we're a crash waiting to happen. You know, that verse in Matthew chapter 16 doesn't talk about if you lose your soul, that means going to hell. That doesn't. It means that we as Christians on our way to heaven, we can lose our souls when we give our souls to other things. Listen, I don't know how many people I've counseled with, but I have counseled with thousands, and some of them are really, really messed up. I mean, very, very disturbed souls to the point their soul is so unhealthy and so distracted and so disturbed and so corrupted that mental illness sets in. I believe mental illness is number one, a lot of times a attribute of long-term bitterness. Two, long-term guilt. Can I remind all of us you can't hide your sin? You may have guessed where I'm going to go here. We need to clean up our souls. We really do. You cannot hide your sin no more than you can laugh when you're really angry. Have you ever tried that one? Looks really weird. it's just weird. You can't. And what is on the inside of your soul is going to leak out. It's going to come out some way. Those of you who have an immoral soul, and by nature, the soul is immoral. It's the soul that Jesus died for, and it's the soul that has to be sanctified. It's not the spirit that needs to be sanctified. It is our soul, because our soul is corrupt. After I got saved, I knew I got saved, but boy, Brother Lutz, I just thought, man, why are all these same thoughts going on here? And I wish somebody would have sat me down, because I was tormented for several months. If I'm saved, why am I still thinking this? Because the soul was very minimally sanctified. And this is the whole thing, that it's our soul, that we need to clean up the soul. It's corrupted. And many of you think you can hide that from God and you've got a whole bunch of garbage on the inside. That you think you're hiding from everybody. And by the way, there are some people, just by the way you grew up and what you've experienced, you've got a troubled soul. And I have to put myself in that category as a younger man. It's like, wow, this is hard. And the Christian life, if you're going to live it the way it should be lived, if you're going to live a godly life, a holy life, there's going to be a whole lot of struggles. It takes spiritual energy. It takes emotional energy. It takes physical energy. But boy, the rewards are so great to come clean before a holy God. By the way, we've got a lot of corrupt souls in this room right now. I'm going to be very vague right now, but freshmen, clean it up. Get rid of your potty talk. We who have been around here a while, we know we don't talk that way. Some of the things that I hear from Brother King going on in the dorms, I'm just like, are you weird or what? We're Christians. Christians act like Christians. We should be known by our fruit. We don't act like the world anymore, okay? Do we need to remind ourselves of that? I place a great value on my soul. I really do. I pay attention to my soul. The more we focus on self, the more we neglect our souls. Selfish people do not have pleasant souls. It's always refreshing that at times I'll run across somebody who just has an incredibly sweet soul. Some of you are out there right now. I don't know everybody here, but you know, I think Mrs. Douglas is of Anna Romery. Now, when I first met Anna a couple years ago, she graduated here, I thought, what? I thought, you are not real. It was like she's always happy, gushy, gooey, and happy, and full of joy. And I just look at her like, what happened to you? Do you ever get mad? Do you ever want to hit somebody? And I've come to the conclusion that's her. Just an incredibly precious soul. And I could probably say that about many people here. To focus on our soul means to look at our life under the care and relationship with God. To focus on yourself apart from God means losing awareness of what matters the most. Listen, you've got a lot of philosophies to form here in your life and at your age. But one of them ought to be at the very top, take care of the soul. Amen. Take care of the soul. Because when you neglect the soul, everything around you begins to fall apart. Are you listening? I'll say it again. When you neglect the soul, everything around you begins to fall apart. The more we are obsessed with ourselves, the more we neglect our souls. Now, I need a little bit of help. Brother King, Brother Stubblefield, there's some things back there. And this front row of men right over here, Daniel, all you guys, Aaron, come on up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, come on up here. I'm going to need your help. Give me the bags. Start passing out the signs there. Watch out. Yes, men's dormitory. Find yourself a seat in here, guys. Stand somewhere in here. Get into the garbage, guys. Get into the garbage. Just kick your way around. Get into the garbage. You're looking at yourself. Preston Wilkerson gathered this for me. I told him intentionally not to bring anything that stinks. But the truth is, sometimes our soul stinks. It's just really corrupt. Can I just say this? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read your mind. If you have not spent time with God in the past week, you're struggling. Peace is just a thought. I'm going to tell you some more about yourself. If you have not spent time with God in over a week, where you spent meaningful time, where you sense the presence of God, you have a problem with lust. It's the way of the soul. If you don't care for it, it quickly digresses and turns back into the old corrupt nature that it is. It's our choice whether we want a sanctified, purified soul or we want the raw base of what a soul is. I've met some really, really strange, corrupted people, especially in the Army. I look back and think, whoa. You have more animal behavior than you have human behavior. I've seen this on the bus routes before. It's just like you live like animal people. How many of you have seen that on bus routes? It's like I've seen animals that live better than that. But what we're looking at is our soul. What's your sign right here? Lust, rebellion, laziness. What's that over there? Wrath, idolatry. What's the next one? Envy. And right here, bitterness. And Brother Cox, would you lift up that sign? That's the big one right there. And this is what really causes all the rest. It's all about self. Self, 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 self. Many of you, this is you. It's all about me. It's all about me. And I'm going to tell you, you have a very unhealthy soul. I have to live with me. I don't have to live with anybody else, physically with Mrs. Douglas. But 24/7, I have to live with me. And I don't want to live that way. I'm sort of a neat freak at home. And thank God, so is Mrs. Douglas. You know, sometimes our house could get messy with three children, but it would never stay that way long. Some of you, you're slobs when it comes to your soul. You don't mind this. Yeah, what's up? You know, so what? There's a little bit of garbage here. You know, we'll fix it up someday. No, really what's happening, it's going to get more and more corrupt. I've lived long enough to see young people, good young people, and then it's all of a sudden, what happened to you? You neglected your soul. By the way, God can't use a soul like this. Matter of fact, let me have somebody here. Rachel, I need you. Where's Rachel? Merced, come here. Rachel, you're going to be the Holy Spirit. Now, before this came along, Rachel was real happy. I want you to act by body language that you're grieved. Stand right over here. Just curl up, sit down and curl up and put your hands over your head and just totally bow down. Just, that's the Holy Spirit right there. Because the Holy Spirit is like, please, don't do this to me. Please. And do you understand, wherever your eyes go, whatever your mind thinks, whatever your imagination creates, the Holy Spirit has to go right along with it. How many of you have ever been grieved? I mean, deeply grieved. I mean, to where your soul felt like it melted before. That's what we do, the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. At this point in this person's life, the Holy Spirit is non-existent. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but it has very little power to do anything. The soul really needs to be surrendered before God will work in your heart and your life. And herein is the struggle. Because we've got all kinds of strongholds, wrong ways of thinking. That's what a stronghold is. We just want to be a godly person, boy, but you know, the bad habits come back. Now, I'm going to give you a quick sermon here. Caring for your soul. Number one, pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your soul. You know when the soul is off. I know when I'm not at peace. There are times when I wake up in the morning and spend time with the Lord, there is almost a demonic spirit upon me that doesn't even want to open the Word of God, does not want to read the Word of God, just wants to rebel against God. And my mind says, we got to change this quick. here's what happens. When you work the schedule that you do and you say, okay, nobody knows if I'm not spending time with God, you go out about your business like that. I would have to say many of you go up on your bus route and really you're just a place, a human being taking up God's space in this world. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Number one, care for your soul. There, Proverbs 29:21-19, verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart, meaning a lot going on. There's plans, there's plotting, there's imaginations, both evil and good, and much, much more. I mean, this soul is just incredibly, has a leaning towards doing wrong, doing evil, and absolutely rebelling against God. That is the natural state of a human soul. Number two, who we are is more important than what we do. You know, I've made this statement many times and people have challenged it, but I'm going to say it again. Who we are in here is more important than what we do. Because who we are is going to be the great influencer in our life. Because what you do, I'm not saying what you do is not important, but we teach who we are. So you're going to stand up and preach, you're going to stand up and teach, and if you are corrupt on the inside, you are teaching who you are. I'll be the first to admit, I have preached messages before in my life that I knew I was a hypocrite. I knew it. And that's a disturbing feeling when you get in this pulpit, and probably every preacher is going to tell you a very similar story. Pay attention to your soul. Care for your soul. And understand who you are is much more important than what you do. We teach who we are. Number three, pay attention when you're self-willed. When you go into the classroom and your mind just starts saying, this teacher bothers me, that person bothers me, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, you better take a real quick time out and do a checkup from the neck up. The soul is unhealthy at that moment. Are you with me? There needs to be a surrendered will. Next, when your ambition is to display your success, can I just remind all of us, glory belongs to God and God only. If you do what you do on a bus route, if you have you want to knock on doors and get submitted because you want people to show other people how successful you are, can I just suggest to you, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be handed wood, hay, and stubble. That's what you get. Why? Because you did it for yourself. Can I just remind all of us, whether you're a bus captain, bus worker, or you sing from this pulpit here, with the gifts God has given you, with the voice God has given you to you, if you go away patting yourself on the back, you get to the judgment seat of Christ and say, can I have my wood, hay, and stubble? God will judge our motives. Next, when your desire to be seen is stronger than your desire to be alone with Christ. The preparation for leadership class is required to memorize this. Therefore, speak only after you have listened. Lead only as you follow. Stand only after you have sat quietly in his presence. Raise your chin and command only after you have bowed your head and obeyed. So really, it's not about us. And again, your time with God is incredibly, incredibly important. Next, when you're more concerned with what you do than who you are, very similar to the previous point. Seven, when all you desire is pursuing and pleasing yourself. When all your desires are about what can make me happy, what can make me happy, what can make me happy, that would reveal your soul needs a little bit of help. And that's our human nature. Well, that doesn't make me happy. Get married and have kids and see how that works. Become an assistant pastor and the pastor says, do this. And then he says, no, don't do this. Don't do this over here. No, don't do this. Go back over and do this. And those are the kind of things that are going to happen in ministry. And if you only do what makes you happy, your soul is not healthy. Amen. Next, pay attention when your sinful imaginations control your mind. Let me help all of you, and I'm going to try to be very, very appropriate here. we all have an issue, and especially men, but it's women too. We create imaginations, immoral imaginations right here, and we let that video play out in detail. You are now sinning against God. If a man looks at a woman and says, she is very attractive, that's not sinning against God. That's just acknowledgement. That's how the brain works. If a lady looks at a man and say, wow, he is very handsome or he is very cute, that's not sinning. That's just acknowledging appearance. This is blue carpet. Brother Lutz is wearing a blue suit. I'm doing the same thing. I'm acknowledging. But when the imagination seed is planted into the mind and you start imagining, you've committed adultery. And God sees no difference between a physical act and what happens in your mind. You have broken one of the Ten Commandments. How important is it to keep your soul pure? Incredibly important. How important is it to keep your soul healthy? Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly. How much do you want to be used by God? Keep the soul healthy. Care for the soul. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Get out of here. Philippians 4:8 has eight virtues. And if it fits the filter of all eight, then God says, think on these things. Do not say, well, I can't overcome that. That's your flesh. Your flesh hates God. And if you ever sell out to God, expect a battle. Did you hear me? There's going to be a battle. And you need to be a warrior for Christ and say, I'll fight that battle. I'll fight the battle of purity. I'll fight the battle for a clean soul and a clean, clear conscience. Fight the battle. It's well worth it. There are students here in this room. If I based your relationship with God based upon your countenance and how you respond to the preachers, there would be several of you I would want to ask one question. And it would be this. Tell me about your salvation experience. On May 28, 1980, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I quickly, thank God, I quickly got rid of all my drugs, everything that was wicked and evil and vile, and it was gone. Smoke Bomb Hill, 20th Engineer Brigade. It was done. I begin to care for my very corrupt and disturbed soul. It has taken years and lots of effort and sacrifices. And I could be totally clear and clean today, but I got to start all over again tomorrow. It's just the way of our nature. And I challenge you. You fight that fight. You become a warrior. You can't be a wimp in this area. You're going to get married. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have a husband. You're going to have a kid. And when you give in and you neglect your soul, it's going to rub off on everybody. Next, and I'm just about done. When sinful imaginations control your mind, and the last point is this, when your soul refuses to be quieted. Samuel, come up here. No, Skylar, come up here. You better be careful and watch when your soul refuses to be quiet. What I want you to do is just do a lot of wiggling and a lot of jittering. And this is the soul. Put your cameras away, guys. Be still. Keep going. Keep going. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Listen, if I could give you just one little tip here. Before you walk with God, meet with God, you have to be still. Physically, the soul has to be stilled, and your emotions. Still. And know. Before I ever can have a meaningful time with God, I have to still my soul. Because there's a lot of times I'll get up and I'll have all kinds of thoughts going on. And I know when that happens, I'm not going to be meeting with God. It's like going to Pastor Wilkerson's office and you have to ask him or he has summoned you, but you do all the talking. And then finally, he said, never mind, go out and leave. Be still and know that I'm God. What's the solution? Thank you, Skylar. We got to clean it up. Put your signs down, guys. Grab the garbage cans, the garbage bags here. Rachel, thank you, Holy Spirit. You can come back in just a little bit, though. So we make a decision. We get tired of ourselves. We hate sin. We develop a hatred for sin. Sin is what brought this condition to us. It was Adam's sin, but if we would have been there, we would have done the same thing. It is sin that destroyed your parents' marriage for some of you. It is sin that has put many of good men that I've known into jail, into prison. It is sin that causes divorce. It is sin is the culprit of just about everything that is unholy. But thank God we have a free will. And greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And we can make a decision to clean up that ugly soul. And we'll have to work on it. I often ask God, God, can I just be a pleasant soul? God, give me peace. Give me love. Lord, I get angry at this and I get angry at that. And I want to choke him and I want to say, God, please help me. And we go through a process. Now get those garbage bags out of here. Put them back there. And take your signs too. Let's get rid of lust. Let's get rid of self. Let's get rid of envy. Let's get rid of wrath. Holy Spirit, could you come back up here? Now the Holy Spirit is free to have his way in your life. Would you bow your head? Thank you.